Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a young child complains about a man in her room, but who is it? A woman suffering with the flu gets one last visit from her passing father, and two friends have a ghostly encounter with the spirit of a young girl. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, if you like the program, you want those EPP bonus episodes, that whole new feel to them, I'll check them out on Thursdays. You get a little preview of it on Thursdays. But if you really like it and you want the full episodes, then become an EPP extra podcast person. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up to be an extra podcast person. Only $5 a month. That's what helps to keep this program on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And I can say once again, it's not like a very special episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
No, I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. So that's good. So it's exciting. We also have like two furry little creatures running around underneath us at the moment, too.
Your dog over there and my dog's right here.
This one's like keeps pushing my leg because he's like 50 pounds. So he can push me across the room if he wants to.
And he's only half grown.
Yeah. Eventually, he's just going to like just push me into the hallway. And he's like, my room.
Yeah.
So there you go. I put a picture of him up on Facebook the other day, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more as he continues to grow. He just lays underneath the desk as I work throughout the day and like lays on my feet. And then he'll like kind of inch his way out this way, like normally where I have to have my chair at. Mm-hmm. So I'm typing and my arms are extended and my microphone's way over here so I don't wake him up. It's like, what the hell happened? It's like suddenly that the animals like rule how we do things.
Not me. I just make my dog move. I just do.
Well, yours is like 3 pounds.
He's 20.
Okay.
He's 20 pounds.
This one's like, it's like moving a sack of, you know, oats.
You have a small horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, 855-853-4802, our phone number. Heard an interesting story and we can talk about it in a little bit. I don't know how accurate it is and I'm going to be vague on the location, but it's a somewhat of a local ghost story. Of an interesting thing happening.
Yeah.
And of something that very, very old relic items being affected in a case in the middle of the night that otherwise shouldn't have been. It's creepy. And we'll talk about it in a few minutes. It's a location that is known to be haunted, well documented nationally and everything. And you know where we're at in Branson, so you may already be guessing what we're talking about. but I don't want to give, you know, it's kind of hearsay at this point, but we'll talk about it in just a little bit. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first story. And it says, my father passed away about 3 weeks ago. And during that time, I was very sick with the flu. The day he passed away, I was sitting in the family room watching television after just waking up due to the medication my doctor had prescribed. My daughter and husband were home with me. As I sat there, I heard the bathroom door upstairs shut. I assumed that my husband had gone upstairs. However, maybe 2 to 3 minutes later, he came out of the study. I looked at him very strangely, thinking where he had come from. My daughter was sitting on the sofa also watching television with me. I asked my husband, as he was just upstairs, his reply was no. I asked, did he hear the bathroom door shut? And he looked at me as if to wonder, what medication exactly did the doctor give me? He said, no, I didn't hear the bathroom door shut. Next, I asked my daughter if she heard the bathroom door closed. And again, the reply was no. I never heard a door shut. At that moment, I thought maybe I was hearing things. An hour later, my niece called to inform me that my father had passed away an hour earlier, which is around the same time I heard that door close. I was making preparations to visit my dad in Iowa at the end of March. However, I never made it. I spoke with my dad a week before he passed away and informed him of my plans. His last words to me were, "I just want to see my baby girl." And no wonder it was him passing through to see me before he crossed over. At the funeral, I was told by my stepsister, which was also his nurse, that he had said death was coming to him. But he was going to be crossing from one area through a door and closing it behind him. There's a part of me that believes before he closed the door, he stopped by to see me. Your thoughts on this would be appreciated. By the way, I enjoy your podcast. I listen daily while at work. You guys are the best. Thanks for allowing me to share my story.
I think it's a pretty classic death visit. That's where, you know, the one that's just passed goes and visits family members that maybe weren't able to come, or they needed to see one last time. And we hear that so often. I think that's probably what it was.
What's always interesting to me about the death visits is where right before they die, they almost like this. He had like a premonition or a sense of what the next step was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knew, I'm going to go over here. And it's like somehow he's informed on this.
Yeah.
It's like you're getting a little roadmap right before. And it's like, where does that come from? How does that come? Where are they getting it? You know, is it a coping mechanism? But, you know, you can kind of argue that. But at the same point, when it seems to happen, it, you know, it's like, well, maybe this is more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
So 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. The horse dog here is pretty excited that there's visitors.
Yeah, we're not usually in his space, which he has claimed as his space.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of...
He's like circling and rounding the wagons up.
Yeah.
The wagons. Wagon. Wagon. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, "Hey, Brewskis, here's a story from Southern Ontario I hope you'll find interesting. Over the course of 10 years, I would occasionally see the terrible cliche of a ghostly form of a young girl. She had long, straight, dark hair and a white dress, possibly a nightgown. She was opaque but fuzzy. So details are hard to make out. With one exception, she never came very close. She'd normally stand in the hallway outside my room, for example, or in the hall. I periodically see her in my room, sometimes standing, sometimes sitting on my bed. Always silently looking right at me during her appearances, which generally lasted about a second or two at a time. One afternoon when I was about 16 at home, I sat in the basement enjoying the end of the day on the couch. It was very low-key, but I noticed abruptly I felt abnormally relaxed. It was as if a good friend was over and we're just enjoying one another's company. No words needed. The temperature dropped and I assumed it was cold air from the vent. I pulled a blanket around me and I still felt inexplicably good. Similar to how people sometimes describe feeling afraid or angry without a cause, but this was the opposite. For one reason or another, I eventually looked to my left, and my good friend was sitting next to me, watching TV. We looked at one another and smiled. It was peaceful. The realization that this was the ghostly girl I'd seen for years came out of nowhere. When this hit me, I leaped up off the couch without thinking. By the time I turned, she was gone, and I was alone again, struggling to decide whether or not it had happened. It was still cold, which reminded me to look up and note that I was standing directly below the vent, from which no air was flowing. Gradually, the cold faded, as well as the strange feeling. She never returned after that incident, leaving me with many questions. Did I scare her away? Did I make her feel bad about startling me? Was she getting ready to move on and wanted someone to see her off? What would have happened if I hadn't looked or jumped away? We'll be interested to hear your take on the matter. Thanks for your time and your podcast. I've only recently started listening to them and very much became a staple of my podcast. Take care. Jenny has all the answers to this.
Well, I will say it didn't go down the path I thought it was going to when she started to describe the girl. It sounded like, you know, we always call it the girl from the ring, you know.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was going to be really ominous, but it sounded like it was not that. It just happened to be a different type of ghost. But it's interesting that it made her have this comforting feeling. And I would bet that since she showed that she was scared, that might be why it decided not to show itself anymore, just because it probably did not want to do that.
Like, damn, I'm coming to you and I'm being all nice and I'm giving you a good feeling and you're still freaked out. Well, screw you. I'm not coming back. Maybe. I mean, because it's like you may be like, oh, well, there's all these dark things around you and I'm keeping them away, but I'm going to show up and I don't want to be scary. And then you're still freaked out. It's a lose-lose situation if you're a ghost and you're wanting to be seen. Because very rarely would it ever, even if you can control the mood of the room, very rarely is anyone going to be, oh, great, a ghost. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
What a great surprise. You know, 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And no, those weren't EVPs in the background of that story. It was the dog making weird noises. What was he make? What was he like? He was kind of like...
Yeah, he didn't like I was petting Bear and not petting him.
Oh, he's a jealous dog.
So Bear's laying under my chair and I'm petting Sting and Sting's happy now.
Bear's just like, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, he gets it.
It's like, do it. It's like, I don't care.
Sting's like, Bear's having to teach this dog all kinds of stuff, like how to do stairs and things.
Well, the Sting here is the new dog. It's an English Golden and he's about 6 months old. About 50 pounds or so. And our other dog, Bear, is, you said what?
He's 20 pounds.
20 pounds. And he's got the house down. You know, he's been here, you know, much longer. So he, you know, comes on command, this or that. And yesterday I was going to take Bear out to go potty. And I call him over like I normally do. And now obviously Sting's here and Sting just stays by my side like a magnet. And that's fine. I like that. He's a great dog, but he's also now become very possessive of me. It's like I'm his person and no one comes near me, especially a little dog that's another dog. And I was just calling him over and he's like, okay, you know, like he normally does. And he's the thing running across the room really fast. And Sting sees this happening. And I don't know what he's thinking, if he's thinking the dog's charging at me or what. But he just turns his body directly in front of Sting, puts his paw out, and trips Bear as he's running towards me. It was comical. I wish I had it on video. And then Bear, like, trips over him and, like, and then runs back to you.
Yeah. It's been an adjustment for Bear because he is a little dude, but he's so patient.
It's like and I'm not a Star Trek person, but the only episode I know of Star Trek was the Tribbles, the Trouble with Tribbles. That's those little puffy things. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was like this, it's the only thing I know of Star Trek, and I don't know why. It's probably the only episode I ever watched when I was a kid. And it was these little like puffy furry things that they, I don't know. I don't know what the story is on it. But it was a fairly famous episode from what I understand, but they look like Bear.
Okay.
These furry little creatures. And that's what I think of every time I see him. It's like this furry little space creature running at me because he's just this puffy little ball of white. But yeah, it's interesting. Next one says, hi there, longtime listener. I've called in with one of my stories. I've decided to write it about another. This was the house that I lived in with my ex, her two children, for 13 years. When my ex and I first got together, we did what most couples do. When starting out to get to know each other, we would stay up till well after midnight, just talking and getting to know each other. One night, as we were sitting on the couch, I caught a black shadow out of the corner of my eye. I looked and I saw this dark mass come out of the kitchen and move into the room of one of her children. I looked at my girlfriend and she said, "You saw that too, huh?" She went on to tell me this had gone on for years. Soon thereafter, the youngest child would start complaining about a man in her room on a nightly basis. So much so that we switched rooms. We took over the room where this black mass was, seen going into so many times. And for the most part, stopped the issue with her child talking about the man in her room. One day, years later, after seeing the figure pretty much daily, the eldest daughter and I were making dinner in the kitchen. We both heard what sounded like silverware being dropped on the counter behind us. Looked at my stepdaughter and I said, "You heard that too?" She said, "Yes." We turned around to find a large knife was now on the counter. Wasn't there a second ago? We decided to order out that night. We also decided to have a Catholic priest come in and bless the house. And that seemed to have ended the issue in our house. Within a year, however, our next door neighbor who has children of their own happened to mention to me that their child had been suddenly complaining about a man in their room in the middle of the night. And they started seeing a black mass moving down their own hallway. I tried talking to the man who owns these two houses, and he told me that the houses were built by inmates of a local jail sometime in the 50s. I'm not sure that I believe him, but this case has shown to me that anything is possible. Hope to hear this sometime on the air. Thanks for this outlet. So, interesting, ominously creepy way the homes were built. Hard to say if that has anything to do with the haunting, though.
Yeah, it's... I think the knife on the counter would be the last straw for me, too. But it makes you wonder, how often do these ghosts just bounce from location to location after they're exorcised from one place to the next, you know? How many times will they move?
Especially when you have it, like, right next door. I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you think like, oh, it's a demon. It's been cast out. And it's like, oh, it's off into the you know, nether realm, into mm-hmm. the ethers of whatever. It's like, no, it just moved across the street. It's just like, it literally moved to that window right out your window that you could hit with a yardstick. That's an interesting. And then they start to wonder, well, is it something with the land? Is it connected to the land? And it's pretty much this whole area that it's mm-hmm. infesting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We never really know the answer to that question. But obviously a very creepy thing. It's good to hear he found a way to get rid of it. I wonder if he shared with his neighbor how they got rid of it so they could too, or if he just wanted to make great fodder with his neighbor. Like, I can't wait to hear the rest of this shit show.
You know? Oh, I think he probably would have shared that information.
Oh, yeah, weird shit going on. That's interesting. Oh, never heard of that before. You know, then just walk away. And then every single night you walk out on your porch, because so many weird things happened to you today?
That, or your neighbor's going to be super pissed that you sent the demon his way, or the bad ghost, or whatever it is.
That's true. That's true. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. So, the ghost story I have locally, and it's, again, this is from, like, second, third hand, I think. One, two, three.
We're the third hand.
We're the third hand of hearing this. Yeah. There's a location in our town, and I'm not going to say the name of it, but it's a museum of sorts, has a lot of antiques, to put it lightly, in it, that commemorates a tragedy. Not a tragedy that occurred in this town, but it's a neat museum. Anyway, you can connect the dots as to what it is. Anyway, the third hand account that we have was closed yesterday. And from, I don't know, everything's kind of closed right now. But some things do seem to stay open year-round. I don't know if it was a scheduled closed day or if it was closed because of this. But yeah. The third-hand account is, in the middle of the night, one of the sensors went off. And this is a building that has a lot of security to it because there's some relics in there. And everything that's in there is very much encased in glass, you know, sensor, you know, galore. It's not like you can just get in there and get it. Heat, temperature, movement, everything. And apparently an object in this case, from what I understand, from third-hand account, I believe a piece of dinnerware, tipping over by itself and breaking in a case. Not open at the time. Middle of the night.
Yeah.
In this place... There's not really earthquakes here.
No, thankfully. Yeah. I mean, there are over in parts of Missouri, but we haven't had one here.
Yeah, it's a relatively non-eventful area for it. And there was nothing registered the other night for that to be happening.
And these cases are designed for, you know, thousands of people to walk by. And, you know, they're going to bump into mm-hmm. it and kids are going to touch it and all that. They're sturdy, to say the least.
They're not, I mean, you probably have much more risk of, you know, Bubba rocking the jukebox.
what?
Is that a country song?
Don't rock the jukebox.
Don't rock the jukebox. Let me get you. Country. Alan Jackson, correct?
Yeah.
Isn't Bubba in that song or something? Or is Bubba
no,
different?
No, I think it was Bubba Shot the Jukebox.
Bubba Shot the Jukebox.
That's a different song.
Bubba Shot the Jukebox. Play me. It's exact same song, that's just one word that's changed. But the dog dies, wife leaves him, same song. So anyway, how that happened, I have no idea. But from what I was understanding, and again, third-hand account, there's no evidence of a break-in. There's nothing else is missing. Nothing else has been damaged. Which was in this case, this object.
Apparently, there is another object that is within a case that constantly falls off of its perch or its stand or whatever mm-hmm. it's on, and it's a little handbag
okay.
that was, I don't think it was brought from the site of the disaster. I think it was, anyway, it apparently falls off of its perch all the time,
mm-hmm.
and they have to, you know, reposition it, but that happens in the middle of the night. They'll go in the morning, and it's like, okay, we got to open this whole thing. It's quite a deal to open these.
Yeah.
And move the stuff around.
So, creepy thing. It's been, the place has been documented on many ghost, or at least one ghost show.
Yeah, we're not outing it.
We've talked about it on this show, but I'm not going to say what it is on this one because, again, third-hand accounts don't have anything, you know, solid on it. But I just thought it was a very interesting story. And you can all fill in the blanks as to where I may be or not talking about it. Of course, the tragedy we're talking about is the Easter Bunny Massacre of 1974, which occurred, and it wasn't like Easter bunnies. It was rabbits. It was just a hunter that caught a lot of rabbits in 1974, and that's the tragedy. He had a handbag and dinnerware with him.
Yeah, and that was the the story that was used for the movie Night of the Leapers.
That is a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, where the giant rabbits eat people.
You've mentioned that before.
I watched it when I was a kid, and it terrified me.
Are you still terrified by Night of the Leapers?
No, I'm not. And I think it was called that. I'm pretty sure it was called that. But it was these giant rabbits, and it was a terrible movie made like in the 70s or very early 80s, you know. And you could tell somebody just took close-up video of their pet rabbit and made it look like it was eating people.
That'd be great. We should watch that with the kids.
They used to play it. We had the old time satellite dish when I was a kid, and one of the weird far out channels, it would play it around Easter. It would.
What a great Easter
movie. Designed to scare the shit out of your kid.
It's like watching Krampus on Christmas or something.
Kind of is.
Night of the Leapers. All right. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, so I called in to leave a message earlier, but lost service. So, my name's Whitney. Most people call me Grace. I'm from a small town in Kentucky. And I've had paranormal experiences since I was probably 5. And the first one that I can ever remember is my mom had moved into a little farmhouse right below my grandparents' farm. It was about a 2-minute walk away. So, I mean, we would go over there during the day and we would catch the bus for school and stuff. So, she would always wake up and I would be in her bed. I refused to sleep in my room. I would not fall asleep in my room. I would not go in my room during the day. That was kind of a no-no zone for me, pretty much. So, of a night after I would fall asleep in her bed, she would carry me and put me back in my bed. And she would wake up about 12, 1 o'clock, and I would be back in her bed. And she one day she finally broke down and she asked me, she's like, why won't you sleep in your room? She said, they ain't nothing that's gonna aggravate you or bother you, just go to sleep in there. So I told her, I said, no, I can't sleep in there, because every time I try to go to sleep, the man who sings to me wakes me up. And at first, she kind of brushed it off, you know, just thinking that maybe it was a dream I was having, or maybe I was mistaken being asleep for being awake, and I was just seeing the dream out in my room or something. So she never really thought a whole lot of it. And it continued, you know. She would put me in my bed. I would climb back in her bed about 12, 1 o'clock every morning. So one night, she was too tired to bring me to my bed, so she just let me sleep in her room. And she got woke up to my leg. I was pulling my leg violently as if trying to pull it away from somebody. And she looked down at the foot of the bed, and there was a black shadow figure with its hand wrapped around my ankle as if trying to pull me off the bed or something. And She woke me up. She grabbed a hold of me and went to wake me up. But when she looked back up, he was gone. That next morning, she asked me, she said, did you see anything weird, feel anything weird? I said, no. She said that she had woke up and seen this man trying to pull me off the bed by my ankle. And I said, well, that's funny. He's never done that before. Because, I mean, he hadn't. I mean, the only thing he had ever really done, you know, was just sing to me. He would stand in the corner of my room and he would sing to me. So, about a week later, my grandparents called. And they were like, Paula, your house is burnt down. It burnt to the ground. So, firefighters did some investigating, and they could not determine the cause of the fire. Could not. So, what I essentially had came up with is that the man did not want my mother to see him, and when she had, it infuriated him, so he had pretty much just set fire to the house. So, I mean, I never had an experience like that afterwards, except for my dad sometimes. He died when I was about 3 months old. He was murdered. And so, like, during stressful situations and stuff, I would always see an apparition, and he would sing his lullaby to me, which is, "You Are My Sunshine." So one day I was driving to work, and the roads were wet, and I had hit this speed bump. And at that time, I was driving a 2005 Cobalt. So whenever I hit this speed bump, that Bluetooth FM transmitter had kind of just jarred out of place. And when it did, it pretty much shut everything off. All the music just stopped. And I started hearing somebody singing "You Are My Sunshine" from the back seat. And I looked up, and my dad was sitting in the back seat. And I was kind of like, you know, "Hey, Dad, how have you been?" About the time I said that, I went around a curb, and I was going a little too fast to be going around this curb, especially with the roads wet. So I hydroplaned. There was a cliff on one side, and then there was a ditch on the other side. So I went off of everything. And I was like, "Lord, please help me." It's literally what I said as my car was spinning circles in the middle of the road with this cliff and this ditch on either side. And about that time, my wheels start spinning every which way. Like, I mean, I can understand the wheel's going to move whenever you're hydroplaning, but it was moving as if it was correcting itself. So finally, like, "You Are My Sunshine," it just stopped. And I stopped dead center of the road, about 3 or 4 inches from the ditch line. I hadn't hit the brakes. I hadn't touched the pedal. But it stopped 3 to 4 inches away from this ditch line. And I was turned completely around in the road, going in the opposite direction in which I had originally started in. So I threw my car in park, and I was sitting there. And I prayed. I prayed right in the middle of the road. I prayed.
And that's it.
Okay, so I have a different take on these events.
It's the power of "You Are My Sunshine." You can sing the song and you can make anything happen.
No, I'm...
Damn.
I'm honestly wondering if maybe the man that would sing to her in her room actually was the same ghost of her dad. And maybe he was trying to get her back into her room where he could watch over her. I don't know.
Okay.
Or maybe he knew that something was going on with that house and that house was going to burn down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just trying to watch her. I don't know. I know maybe that's giving a little too much credit to a shadow person, but I think it's interesting that there's two spirits here and they both sang to her. So that's where I'm making that connection.
I think they're both protective.
Yeah.
Certainly. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, I do know the power of "You Are My Sunshine," though, because I like to sing it a lot. And sometimes magical things happen, you know.
Like, you stop.
when Livy was little, there was a song she would sing in karaoke, like
3-year-old karaoke go-to was "You Are My Sunshine."
"You Are My Sunshine." It still is today. Mm-hmm. These days.
No, it's not.
It's like at 12. Like, "You Are My Sunshine." Okay. Still can't get the lyrics great, but okay. kidding. No, I remember that we did play that song a lot back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi, my name's Katie. I live in North Carolina. I've been experiencing the paranormal since I can remember, like from, I'd say, age like 4 on. Within like the last, so I guess the story here is, last year I was in a paranormal group, and I live in Southport, and that's a really old town. So anywho, we were at, like, my group and I were at this cemetery. It dates back to the 1800s, maybe a little bit before then. But anywho, we were about to leave, and we are using a 3D mapping system. And the 3D mapping system pinpoints the energy, you know, like, it runs off the Xbox. It runs off the Xbox 360, I can't even think of the word right now. But anywho, it picks up pinpoints of energy. That being said, we were leaving, and I felt really drawn to this grave. And I look over to my right, and it's this little girl, and her name was Maggie Elizabeth. And I was like, oh, and it just happened to be her birthday that day. And I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, she died when she was 4, and I leaned down, and I said, you know, happy birthday. You know, sorry you lost your life so early. And when I did that, there was, one of my partners was pointing at the grave with the 3D mapping system, and a tiny figure appears and is holding me. It's just like has its arms wrapped around me. And, like that whole time I'm sitting there, I can just feel the energy, like the energy just like sparked. And I could, like, the hairs, like, raised up on my arms and everything. And it genuinely felt like there was a little girl standing there, like, holding me. And it was crazy. And then, you know, I was just like, you know, have a good night. And it disappeared. Yeah. There's a ghost story for you. Hope you guys have a good day.
I'm going to break out the Xbox 360 in the other room and...
No.
Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that? Like on the, we don't really watch ghost shows, but do you know what she's talking about of how this works?
No, I don't, and I'm okay with not knowing.
Well, let's explain it to you so you understand how it works. we have one of those it's the eye thing that we use when we play the bowling game.
Okay.
Now people modify those for ghost hunting. Okay. Now you know when we're playing the bowling game, it shows you like in little corner like your stick figure.
Yeah.
Because it's sensing infrared, it can sense 3D imaging. So essentially what they do with this when they use it for ghost hunting is they got it hooked up to some sort of thing where it does basically just that infrared screen on whatever screen device they're using.
Okay.
And then they you know look around the room with it, and then it tends to pick up just that. It'll suddenly it's like, oh my God, there's a stick figure it's seeing over there that you're not visually seeing, but this thing is sensing it.
Okay.
And it'd be like a full body, like it looks like a stick figure on camera, but it's like, why is it picking up this stick figure?
Okay.
And it oftentimes then correlates with other things that are going on in the investigation, like there are other things are ticking when this is going on. But it kind of gives you more of an idea of a sense of, oh, there is something there.
That's crazy.
So
I would imagine as a little kid when you died so young that you would probably still want people to see you on your birthday.
Sure.
Yeah.
Presents. Mm-hmm. All sorts of cake. Be great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. And just going forward, so everyone understands kind of when you're going to be here, It's once a week.
Okay.
We've decided on this. We got Carol one day, Sean one day, and you one day a week. So
that works.
There we go. Every day you kind of get a new person with new opinions on ghost stuff. But there you go. So there you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number, ghostpodcast.com. To support us and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.